God today. We've come to a very important part of the year, and I'm going to be speaking on a series of messages. Well, the general title is Stock Taking, but this series of messages will include the following. Number one, the benefits of stock taking. That's one. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Then next time we meet, we'll talk about the process of stock taking. Then the final part will be reasons for stock taking. Is that final or what? But today, by the special grace of God, we are going to be focusing on the benefits of stock taking. Let's take our text scripture, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. Okay, many of us are not there. Amen, somebody. 2 Corinthians 13. If you are there, say amen. What is happening? Many people don't know the place. 2 Corinthians is not in the Old Testament. I hope you know that. It's after the book of 1 Corinthians. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13. If you are there, say amen. Okay, better. Verse 5. It says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. The word reprobates here actually means cast away, rejected, or unapproved. Examine yourselves. The word examine yourself here actually means to test. It means to test. It means to scrutinize something. And the word prove also, interestingly, also means to test. In fact, it means to test. It means to examine. It means to scrutinize. To see whether a thing is genuine or not. Like I said, if you look at stock taking, that terminology, stock taking, is a business terminology. But it has a scriptural basis. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say in a nutshell is that the word stock taking is a terminology for business people, but it has a spiritual foundation, it has a biblical foundation, and you and I need to be involved in the principle of the process of taking stock. That's another way of saying it. Stock taking simply talks about the process of you taking stock. In some other places, it's called inventory checking. And I'm going to explain what stock taking means. What does stock taking mean? In a layman language, stock taking is the activity of counting and checking all the goods that a shop or business has. The what? Process of what? Counting and checking all the goods that a shop or a business has. Stock taking is also the process of examining, counting, and valuing of goods at hand in a shop or business. Please notice those keywords. When you say you are doing stock taking, you are examining, you are counting, and you are valuing what you have. Amen. Don't forget, our foundation scripture says what? Examine yourselves. examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. He now says, prove your own self or examine your own self again. So the objective of, like I said, stock taking is the process of examining, counting, and valuing the goods that you have at hand in a shop or a business. Stock taking is also the process of counting the actual physical stock and checking the numbers against the numbers you have in your books. If you've ever seen a businessman, somebody who owns a shop, or somebody who runs a grocery store, like they say in America, you see that they do stock taking regularly. In fact, there are different kinds or different types of stock taking. There's what we call the periodic one, the ones you do probably monthly, quarterly, or mid-year. Then you have what we call the continuous or the perpetual stock taking. That one is something you do every now and then. It's a part and parcel of the business. Then you have what we call the annual stock taking. Now, you see, what they do in stock taking, they count the actual physical stock. What is on ground. They go and check it against the numbers they have recorded. Amen? I've been in shops whereby I went to buy stuff and I saw them taking the orders, new orders. And I saw the storekeeper, you see they are checking things in. They are checking, this one check, this is the number of things. Now, they are trying to do the process of check and balance. Amen? Amen. They don't just bring goods into a shop without not taking stock. Hello? You take stock of what you have received. When you start selling, you also take stock to know whether what you have physically corresponds with what you have recorded. Hello? Any serious-minded businessman or businesswoman will tell you that stock taking is very important. If you don't do that, you will not know how you are progressing. You will not know whether you are making gains. You will not even know whether you are making losses. So it's important. And you see, this is why I believe God inspired Apostle Paul. He said, examine. That's to tell you that we Christians, we must inculcate the habit of taking stock. Like I told you, I've come to a very important part of this year. I mean, the new year is just around the corner. Many people don't know that before you enter a new year, you must take stock. Hello? This is why this message is very important. It will help you also to prepare for the new year. Because you must take stock of the activities of this year. How things has been. How things has progressed with you. If you are going to make a greater headway in the new year. Can I have an amen? So that is what stock taking is. Then let me also go ahead. That's not all. Stock taking also is or means the following. It's an appraiser. Appraiser. It's like a self-appraiser. Why? For the purpose of assessing your accomplishments, your prospects, and so on and so forth. So, stock taking is a form of what? Appraiser. When you do appraiser is to check up on how things are going. Appraiser is like an evaluation. Amen? And everybody needs to do a self-appraiser. Amen? Glory be to God. I said glory be to God. What does stock taking mean? Stock taking also is the action of reviewing and assessing one's situations and options is the process or the action of reviewing. So I say reviewing. And what? Assessing your situation and options. That's what this message or series of messages is all about. It's about assessing and reviewing your situation. your current situation and the options that you have available to you. Amen. I said amen. Amen. I still want to give, I think I still have one more definition of stock taking. How many have I given you now? Okay. For those people who are writing, how many have I given you now? It's more than three. Amen, somebody. Uh-huh. Is it five? Glory be to God. It should be five. Amen, somebody. What is stock taking? Stock taking is also a reassessment of one's current situation, progress, and prospects. A reassessment. That tells me that you've done an assessment before, you are doing another what? Another one again. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to inculcate the culture and the habit of stock taking. Now, is it biblical? Is it scriptural for me to take stock? The answer is yes. I mean, look at that first scripture we read in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. It says, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Prove your own self or examine your own selves. It says, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate or except you be what? Except you be a castaway. Who is a castaway? A castaway is someone who has not been tested and proven. So you can see that God expects us. There's a scripture in Lamentations 3 verse 4. It says, let us, watch this, search and try our ways and return back unto God. The word try there means to examine yourself intimately. So God wants us to be involved in self-examination, or what we call stock taking. God expects you to take stock. There's a message God sent to the children of Israel in Haggai chapter 1 verse 5 and verse 7. It says, therefore said the Lord of hosts unto you, consider your ways. God wanted them to evaluate what they were doing. So it is scriptural. There's a scripture in Proverbs 27 verse 23. It says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and give attention to know how your herds is doing. So God is keen. God is interested. In fact, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 31. It says, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged of God. Listen, if you learn how to step on the scale and measure yourself, God does not need to do it for you. That's what he's saying. So God expects us to imbibe the culture of taking stock. You must learn that. You must learn that habit. You must inculcate that attitude into your life. It must become a part and parcel of us. You know, the psalmist was praying. I think it was David. Psalm 36, verse 2. It says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. The word examine there and the word prove means to test. It was saying, God, test me. Try my heart and my reins. The same psalmist, Psalm 139, verse 23, 24. It says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. It now says, try me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So, it's important. Look at your neighbor and say, stock taking is biblical. Come on, say it like you are sure. Say, stock taking is biblical. And you see, when I say God expects us to imbibe the culture of taking stock, now, what areas? God wants us to take stock on several areas. Number one, God wants you to take stock of your life. You must learn the habit of taking stock of your life. When I say your life, I'm talking about your destiny, your purpose, your tomorrow, your future, your goals, your targets. I mean, if you don't evaluate your life, if you don't do a reassessment of your life from time to time, how will you know whether you are going forward or not? So we need, in fact, I think it was Socrates who said, the unexamined life. I'm trying to remember how he said it. The unexamined life. I hope I have the quote somewhere. I know I've written down. Let me try to find it. Amen. Yeah. The unexamined life is not worth living. Now, I will say it this way. An unexamined life is a dangerous life to live. If you live your life in such a way that you don't do self-examination, you don't evaluate and assess yourself, you don't take stock, you are living a dangerous life. Why is it dangerous? Because here you are, you will not know whether you are going forward or not. You don't even know even where you are. Amen, somebody. God does not expect you to just listen. There's a difference between existence and living. God does not just want you to exist. All some people are doing is existing, breathing in, breathing out. Listen, that is normal. That is natural. Amen, somebody? Amen. God made you for more. See, after me say, God made me for more. And listen, you will live to fulfill the purpose for which you were made in Jesus' name. You know, many of us know this story. During the time of Daniel, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, when he became king, you know, he did something. He took all the vessels of the house of the Lord and he was drinking from it, and God got hungry and handwriting came on the wall. Do you know that one of the meanings of that word, many, many, tekehu parizim, that came out, one of the meaning, Daniel 5:37, it says, you have been weighed in the balances and you have been found wanting. Listen, that tells me that Belshazzar lived an unexamined life. God said, I have tested you and you have failed. Amen, somebody. He said, I put you on the scale. I mean, you failed the test. In fact, that word found wanting means deficient. So he did not measure up. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, God expects you to take stock of your life. Not only that area, number two, God expects us to take stock of our activities, your works, your enterprises, what you do. What do you do for a living? What's your business? What's your profession? What's your career? Listen, you need to take stock of your activities. The things that you do, we must take stock. These are areas you must stretch your stock taking to. Stock taking must cover these areas. We must constantly check up on what we do. Because, let me say this, it's very easy to deviate. At times, very subtle. You deviate from what you are supposed to be doing and you are doing something else. I think I've shared this story before. There was a brother that God specifically told to study chemistry. That was what God told him to study in school. He got to school. He did so well on 111. Did so well on 211. He started feeling, I'm too much for chemistry. I think I will go for medicine. That's where I think I belong. Now, this is a specific instruction. Say specific, somebody. Specific. Loud and clear. It's not that somebody told you. It's something you had based on God's plan for his life. So he decided to cross over to medicine. Amen. And, of course, when you get to the third level, you must do the first major exam. He did it. He flunked it. Amen, somebody. Now, second time, you have to pass. Amen, somebody. There's no whatever way, you must pass. So it was that second attempt he went, started going from one place. He went to see a man of God to pray with him. He said, kneel down. The moment he wanted to pray, God said, tell him, I am not aware that he's doing that course. So he tapped and said, excuse me, I don't understand this, but God said, he's not aware you are doing that course. He broke down, started crying. He said, actually, this is what God said, but I felt that this one is better. Hello, somebody? Look at your neighbor and say, take stock of what you are doing. That's an area you must spread your stock taking. Number three, our stock taking must also cover our ways. Your ways talks about your path, the path that you tread, your path, your walk, W-L-K. The Bible says in Lamentations 3 verse 40 that I quoted earlier, it said, let us, what? Let us search and try our ways and return back to God. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 verse 59, he said, I thought on my ways and I made haste. I made haste to keep your testimonies. So it's important to think. Tapirema says you need to take stock of your ways. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right. It looks right. Proverbs 16:25. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seemeth what? It seems right to you. But the Bible says it is the ways of death. You will never walk in that path. So God expects us, our stock taking must take care, must cover our ways. Then number four, we must also take stock of our days or time. You know, time is one of the most precious commodity that God has given us. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time, because the days that we live are what? Listen, one area you need to evaluate from time to time is how you use your time. That's why time wasted may never be regained again. There's a man by the name of Richie Norton. The man defined time as this. It's like an acronym. The man believed that, he had this philosophy. What was the philosophy? No more tomorrows. Today is the day. Tapping him and say, no more tomorrows. Say, today is the day. How did this man define time? It's an acronym. T stands for something, I stands for something, M stands for something, and E. It defines time as today is my everything. Now, if you see time as being today and being everything, the way you use your time will change. Because some people think, if I miss it today, there's another time tomorrow. Listen. You need to know that your life is about timing. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. A wise man once said, there is no tomorrow to remember if you don't do something today. The reason you can look forward to tomorrow is because you have done something meaningful with today. So we must take stock of our time. Look at the devil and say, take stock of our time. Do you know that time is usually wasted in the same ways every day? Time is usually wasted in the same way every day. That's why you must take stock of your time. God wants to take stock of your time. Then another area that our stock taking must cover is that we must take stock of the year. The Bible says in Psalm 65 verse 11, thou crownest the year with your goodness, your path drop with what? Fatness. Think about the promise of this year. Now, if you don't take stock of this year, how will you be able to know how well you have done, and how will you be in a better position of preparing for the new year? Ask your neighbor for me. Do you have plans? Ask him and say, do you have plans of taking stock of this year? You know, some people, they mumble and jumble things up. What do I mean? You see, people just think that things just happen like that. Somebody once said, if you keep doing the same thing in the same way and you expect a different result, he says that's the definition of insanity. And that's true. Amen. I mean, listen, what will change things? I can't be doing things the same way, you know, in and out every year and expect a different response. You know, for those of us, probably if you follow football, you discover that in a very long time, Nigeria did not do well in the under 17, you know, world championship that was held recently in Brazil. In fact, they were knocked out. I'm not sure whether the second round or quarterfinals, but you know, I mean, that's an area of our strength. And I was asking myself, I said, instead of taking stock, of course, we'll be looking for the scapegoat, somebody to blame. Amen, somebody? Because we operate, how do we operate in this country? Most of the time, people operate by hit and miss kind of approach. That's why the people think that God is a Nigerian. We will not do the things we are supposed to do. We will not take stock. Amen, somebody? We will not learn so that failures can be averted and we can build a legacy of success because we like to do things anyhow. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you must take stock. And ladies, listen to me. We must imbibe the culture of taking stock. Taking stock must become a part and parcel of our lives. That's why today we are talking about the benefits. What are the benefits of taking stock? What are the gains? What are the dividends? Are there blessings? The answer is yes. I can tell you that a life that takes stock, a life that is regularly examined, will turn out better and well than an unexamined life. I want to ask you a question. Will you ever, somebody, buy a car without a brake system? The answer is no. It doesn't matter how beautiful that car is. Even if somebody gave you a Lamborghini, amen, somebody, or Ferrari, amen, somebody, or Bugatti, amen, somebody, hello, somebody in the house. I said, wow, this is a slick car. This is a cool car. I love this car. They said, but there's one but. They said, what's the but? There's no brake system. I'm sure you will reject it. Because you don't want your life to be terminated abruptly. Nobody will drive a car or drive a system. A plane. You see, there's the need for a brake system. Amen. It's the brake system. It's the same thing with when it comes to taking stock. There are benefits. And we need to know this. What are the advantages of taking stock? What will it do for us? What kind of position will it put us? That's the focus of our discussion tonight. And I believe in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will shine His light and give us illumination. And help us to see the reason why we must make the process or principle of taking stock a part of our lives. If you heard what I said, say, I do. So, let's look at some of the benefits. What are some of the benefits of taking stock? Number one, it helps you to know the true state of things. You see, when you take stock, for instance, of your life, He'll help us to know the true state of things with regards to where you are in the journey of life. You know, at times, the way things look on the outside is not the way it looks on the inside. How many know that? That's why they say all that glitters is not gold. You see, you must imbibe the culture of taking stock. You know, it's just like people confusing character with reputation. They are not the same. Amen, somebody. Your character is who you really are. Your reputation is what people think you are. Hello, somebody. They are not the same. Amen, somebody. Your character is your identity. Amen. Your reputation is your image. You know, people spend more time working on their image. Ah, me veki, you know, me veki image me baje. Amen, somebody. Muti bajuma. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody else. I'm popular. I'm well known. People will do all kinds of things to keep their image instead of fixing the identity. Amen. A great man of God once said, he said, if I take care of my character will take care of my reputation. And that's true. That's true. Are you focusing on the right things? If you don't take stock, listen, you won't really know. Amen, somebody. You won't know the true state of things. One advantage of taking stock is that it helps you to know the true state of things. True state of your life. True state of your business. True state of your academics. True state of your marriage. Amen. True state of your profession. Whatever area. It gives you the real idea. Amen, somebody. I said amen, somebody. It's like the story of what I had. Somebody and a supervisor from the Ministry of Education came to inspect one of the public schools. And he went around, he saw the state of things. Ah, very bad. Standard of living, poor. So many things, poor, poor. So went into the office of the head mistress and said, ah, things are bad here. Yeah. Things are really bad. Ah, my report. Ah. My report is going to be serious. So, you know what the headmistress says? He said, oh, God supervisor, I know, but how can you go and write something bad now? She just brought out an envelope, say brown envelope, somebody. I just extended it to the supervisor. And the supervisor just smelling, you know, sheepishly. Amen, somebody. I said, he said, you know now, let the report, of course, that's what tell you the state of things, how bad things are in a country. But this is a man who is supposed to report the true state, say true state, of things compromising because of money. Amen, somebody? I tell people this. Listen, we may deceive men, but you cannot deceive God. Because you see, your true identity and the true state of who you are is not hidden to God. So look at your neighbor and say, this is one of the benefits. I quoted the scripture earlier on, Proverbs 37. Let's look at it. Proverbs 37, verse 23. Proverbs 37, verse 23. Very powerful scripture. Glory be to God. 23 says, be thou diligent to know the state of your flocks. Look well to your edge. Now, you cannot know the state of things, the state of what you are keeping or doing if you don't examine yourself. You see, that is the blessing of stock taking. You know, I once had a friend who taught. Say taught somebody. He taught that he was on the way to heaven. Amen, somebody. And when he had the gospel of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, he saw his true state. You know, that's what happens to us before we met the Lord. We probably thought, oh, we're okay. Now, why did he think he was okay? Ah, I don't do bad to anybody. I don't do bad. I said, it's more than that, too. It's not that. Being a good moralist does not guarantee you the kingdom of God. Hello, somebody? Say, I don't do bad to anybody. I try to be nice. I try to be courteous. But when he had the gospel, he saw his true state. Because man without God is in a depraved state. Amen, somebody? Man without God is what? Is cut off and severed from life. That's when he cried out, Lord, have mercy upon me. And the Savior came to his life. Amen, somebody? Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, the benefit of stock taking, it helps you to know the true state of things. So tap your neighbor and say, it's time to take stock. Number two. Second benefit of taking stock is that it helps you to know and identify where you stand. I want to ask you a question this evening. Where are you standing? Or where do you stand? Where is your stand? Where are you now? You will never know where you are now until you begin to take stock. Hello, somebody. Look at that scripture. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. It says, examine yourselves to know what? Whether you are what? In the faith. So it's possible not to be in faith. Examining yourself, taking stock, will help you to know where you stand. The Bible says, he that thinketh is a thought, is thinking, is a perception. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12. He that thinketh he what? Standeth. To what? Take heed lest he what? Fall. You can't build your life on assumption. You can't build things on assumption. The reason you need to take stock. Taking stock will help you to know. Am I standing or falling? Am I strong or weak? Am I productive or counterproductive? Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to take stock. Oh, I love taking stock because it helps me to know where I stand. One of the questions God asked Adam, Genesis 3 verse 9. He says, Adam, where are you? I want to ask you a question tonight. Where is your position? Are you first or second or third? Or last? Are you in first class? Second class upper? 2-2. Amen, somebody. Third class. Is there anything lower than third class? Okay, that's pass. Okay, that's true. That's pass. Do you know that it's when we evaluate that we know where we are? Glory be to God. Ask anyone, say, where are you? Listen. We started this year. You wrote out your goals. Where are you? See, that's why you must take stock to know where you are. Oh, your life goal, your purpose, where are you on that journey? You see, this is why we must take stock. It helps us to know where you are. And you see, when you realize where you are, if it's not the place you have envisaged or desired to be, it helps you to know how to make adjustments. Hello, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, in the name that is above every other name, you will get to your destination. If you believe that, say a better amen. Amen. But you see, getting to your destination is not by luck. It's not by chance. You must take stock. And taking stock starts today. Can I have an amen to that effect? Third benefit of taking stock is that it helps you to know whether you are going forward or not. What does that mean? Taking stock helps you to know the level of your progress. How can I know whether I'm making progress or not? By taking stock. You can never know whether you are making progress or not if you don't take stock. How can I know I'm going forward, sideways, static, or backward if I don't take stock? So tap your number and say, you need to take stock. You see, this is why it's important. So that you know whether am I progressing or am I depreciating? Or are things diminishing? That's what we call the law of diminishing returns. It used to be up. Amen, somebody. It's not going down. But you know at times, if care is not taken, you will never know if you don't what? If you don't take a survey, if you don't evaluate, if you don't investigate. I tell people, you know at times, if care is not taken, the fact that you are still speaking in tongues, amen, somebody, does not mean that you and God are on cloud nine. Hello, somebody? Are you in the house? Backsliding is a process. It happens in stages. Somebody can still be speaking in tongues. Amen, somebody? And the person may be far away from God. Glory be to God in the highest. I said, glory be to God in the highest. God wants us to go forward. You know that? Proverbs 4 verse 18. What does he say? The paths of the righteous is what? Like the shining light that shineth what? More and more unto what? A perfect day. The Bible says in Psalm 115 verse 14, the Bible makes us to understand, it says the Lord shall increase us what? More and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, verse 15, that makes the heaven and the earth. Psalm 84, verse 7, it says they go from what? Strength to strength. Every one of them as they daily appear before what? And Job 8, verse 7 says, though your beginning were small, your latter end should. You know, it didn't say shall. It's not automatic. Amen, somebody. Should increase. That means you have a part. Tap your neighbor, say forward ever. Backward never. Tell him, say that's your motto from today in Jesus' name. But tell your neighbor, say evaluate. Say examine yourself. If you don't examine yourself, you will not know your level or measure of progress. Glory be to God. The fourth benefit of taking inventory, that is stock taking, is that, I love this one, it helps you to discover your true self. Your true potential is unleashed when you discover yourself. I mean, when you examine yourself. Look at 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. It says, prove your own self. It says, know ye not yourself that Jesus Christ is what? Is in you. You know, not everybody knows their true potential. One of the things stock taking will do, it will help you to know your strengths and weaknesses. It will help you to know the things you have, the things you can do, and what you have. Listen, examining yourself, when you learn to take stock, it reveals your true identity. Many of us don't know what we carry. Many of us are not fully aware of what we have until you what? Start probing and start evaluating and asking questions. I'm going to be sharing with you. Don't forget, I said this message is in three parts. We're going to be looking at the process of taking stock, because there's a process. There's a process of taking stock that will help you to understand what you have. Do you know, sir, that the prodigal, Luke 15, do you know that what helped the prodigal to discover himself was that he did what? He did stock taking. He evaluated. Come on. The Bible says in Luke 15 verse 17, when he came to himself, that is based on what? Assessment. How many of my father's hired servants, I mean, have bread enough and to even spare to dash? And look at me, I am suffering here. Why did he come to that awareness? It was like an awakening. It's like his eyes was open, pam. Because he evaluated. He examined himself. How can I be suffering here? When my dad has all things. No, I will arise. Somebody's arising from this mountain. You're rising a new person tonight. Because suddenly you will discover what you carry. You will discover that you are loaded. Amen. The Bible says we have this treasure. That's what the Bible calls it. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. We have this treasure. Where? In earthen vessels. It's in you. Amen, somebody. Tap it and say, it's in you. That's why I love the way Paul said. He said, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Prove your own self. Prove. Examine your own self. Know ye not your own self? It's possible not to know yourself. It's possible. It's possible. Listen, when I say know yourself, I'm not talking about the name they gave you. There was this story of this faithful steward who served this wealthy man, and the man passed on. And when the man passed on, the man just gave a piece of paper to this faithful steward. When the faithful steward saw it, she was very angry. She had served this man all my, look, he just gave me a paper. You know why she was angry? She was illiterate. She was an illiterate. She wasn't literate. She couldn't read. I was asking myself, even if you cannot read, go and meet somebody who can read. I said, this man just dashed me paper. I don't serve him for 30 years. Now paper, he dashed me. What did this paper say? Abi? Or go look for a barista. I beg, read this thing for me, oh. Abi? Steph? Check it out. She got angry. She went home. Amen, somebody. Living in a shack. You know, suffering. She was sick. And the blessed Charles Spurgeon, who was happened to be a pastor, went there to pay a visit to encourage her. When he got there, and trying to, you know, pray, he looked on the wall and he saw this paper glazed. Say glazed. She glazed it. Listen, her entitlement, her inheritance, she put it on a glass of paper. Hung it on the wall. The man said, excuse me, who owns this? He said, the okay, where is that? That paper, he dashed me. The man said, do you know what is written on this paper? He said, I don't know. I said, I understand now. Ignorance is a killer. Amen, somebody. Ignorance is a disease. Hello, somebody? By the time, you know, the man of God explained to her what was in that paper, there's no reason why she should be living in that shack. There's no reason why she should be suffering the way she was suffering. She didn't know who she was. It's possible not to know who you are. As someone say, my name is John Thomas. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your real self. And you come to discover your real self as a result of what? Examining what? Yourself. When you do an evaluation, when you do stock taking, he helps you to discover yourself. And I know that today, someone is leaving this mountain with a different perspective of what they have, what they carry, and what they can do in the name of Jesus. Number five. Another benefit. Benefit five. Number five of taking stock, that it helps you to know the things that are working and the things that are not working. Listen, not everything works. Listen, whatever works, build on it. But at the same time, anything that is not working, learn from it. God expects us to profit on both ends. Not just to learn the things that are working, but to also know the things that are not working. If you have this wisdom, it will serve you well in life. Because not everybody profits from their failures. In the words of John Maxwell, he calls profiting from your failure, failing forward. Not everybody profits from their mistakes, from their errors. Amen? So, look at your neighbor and say, self-assessment. So, when you take inventory of things, it helps you to know the things that are working. I don't want to quote this scripture. Let's go back to Psalm 119. I've quoted it before. I want to show something. Psalm 119, 59. I thought on my ways, and I what? Turned my feet unto what? Your testimonies. Question. Why did he turn his feet? Listen. What he discovered as a result of self-assessment. Amen, somebody? As a result of stock-taking. Amen, somebody? He now said in verse 60, I made haste. What does that mean? It means to hurry. It means to be eager with excitement or enjoyment. I made haste. I delayed. The word delay there means not to be reluctant. I delayed not to what? To keep your commandment. Now, evidently this man has been able to discover. He had been able to profit. I once heard the story of the man who invented the incandescent light bulb. After 10,000 trials, he was successful. And somebody was saying, you have failed 999 times. He said, point of correction, I didn't fail. I just discovered 9,999 other ways of not producing the bulb. Hello? You can see the man has a different perspective or a better perspective to failure. You can see that, you see, it's not just enough to know what is working. You need to know what is not working. If you don't know what is not working, then you will not be in a better position of stopping it or tracking it. God wants us to have the two kinds of wisdom. Amen? Amen. That's the benefit. That's the advantage. Amen? Amen. You see, I've always asked God, if I see that the things that do is working, I start asking questions. Why is it working? I start asking. I start probing. I start doing examination. I want to know. And you see, when things don't work, I don't just say, well, maybe God does not work. I want to know. Why did it not work? You see, when you have these two kinds of wisdom, there's no way you will not excel in life and do better. Not everybody has or knows the reason why things don't work. That's why some people put it at the doorstep or the blame of assumption. Or maybe God doesn't want me to have it. No. No. Look at it and say, probe. I love the prodigal. The Bible says when he came to himself, this thing is not working, no. You know, like they say in my language, if you cannot go forward, at least you can go back to where you are coming from. This thing, no, they work. Oh. I don't tell daddy. I didn't even tell daddy. He didn't even tell daddy because he ran away. Amen, somebody. Just woke up one day. Where the guy? He don't disappear. Amen, somebody. No word, no letter, no note. To nowhere. He said, this thing, no, they work. You know, they work. Hello, somebody. Make her go back. You know, at times, pride will not allow somebody to go back. Pride. Say pride. You can, listen, if you are prideful, you will never grow. I always tell people there's nothing wrong with admitting you are wrong. Hello? It wouldn't take anything from you. Wouldn't take anything from you. I remember when I was in Sabri Rema, and, you know, some guys came, they said, you know, they felt the call of God to step out and do things. I said, I counseled them in the way Father, we counseled them, and I was telling them, some of them, I prayed for some of them openly, you know, when I say openly, congregation with them in my office, and one of the things I was telling, I said, listen, you are always welcome back. Amen, somebody. Amen. You're always welcome back. If you felt, I made a mistake, I mean, you are welcome back. Because some people say, he said he has gone. That's it. The door is shut permanently. No, don't be like that. Amen, somebody. Hello? At times, the reason some people don't want to come back is because of they know how people will do or will behave. You know, we human beings are blessed. Say we are blessed, somebody. I was imagining one day, I said, how were people looking at Paul, the persecutor, when he came to church? I'm sure some people just stylishly start moving away from his direction.
They said, we don't know whether I came to spy. We don't know his mission yet. Amen. Thank God for the likes of Barnabas, son of encouragement, who said, come on, brother. Come. I mean, others were looking from afar. See, from afar. Say, so, but you're born again, or born again, anyone, amen. Tell your neighbor, say, when you do self-assessment, it helps to know the things that are working and the things that are not working. Number six, sixth benefit of what? Taking stock is that he helps you to become a better person. Listen, when I say better, better in every respect, better spiritually, better emotionally, better physically, better financially, better professionally, better academically, better maritally, better relationally, better in all respects. Because that is part of the advantages of self-assessment or evaluation. You know, when you step on the scale and you measure yourself, you ask yourself vis-a-vis what you have stated as your goals for the year, and you start evaluating, you start taking stock. What it does is that it helps to become a better person at the end of the day. At times, people shy away from taking stock because they don't want to hear the hard truths. That's not how you can progress. That's not how you can become better. If you don't learn to look at yourself in the mirror. Amen? Amen. Because looking at yourself, by the way, why do ladies look at themselves in the mirror? And so men also. Amen. Hello, somebody in the house. Why are they coming and going back? You've been before this mirror more than 10 times and within the space of only God knows 20 minutes. Amen. Somebody. Why are they coming back and checking? Amen. Hello? Anybody knows why they are coming back and checking? Okay, reevaluation. Any other reason? Check yourself out. Why are you checking the nose? Why are you checking it again? You have seen it before. You are checking it again and again. Yes, my wife said that to be perfect. Amen. Somebody. Hello, somebody. Listen, people pay a lot of attention to how they look. A lot of attention. Amen. On looks. Amen, somebody. It's good to look good. Amen, somebody. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm asking myself, the way we look at ourselves physically, if you can only look at our lives from the mirror of self-assessment, life will be better. You'll be stronger. Amen, somebody. Know that some people, they don't like to be corrected. They don't like to be spoken to tell them the truth. I said, if they cannot correct you in God's house, then you are doomed. Amen, somebody. Because the house of God is not just a place of, I know there's excitement there, there's a place of edification, it's also a place of correction. Discipline. Amen, somebody. There is chastisement. It's part of it. Hello? Look at the prodigal. Do you know the prodigal became a better person? He was much more humble now. Life has a way of mellowing people down. Amen, somebody. When you have seen the other side, amen, somebody, you become, like they say, somebody say, gented. I don't know whether that's correct, Debbie, you know, English version. I mean, you become cooler, calmer, more matured. Okay, yeah, return back to factory setting. You return back the way God, you know, designed it. Because you have seen things. Amen, somebody? I'm telling you that the prodigal was humble, broken. Before, for him to say, make me one of your high, that's brokenness. That's humility. He didn't come with bragging light. Daddy, I don't come. There are some people like that who relate to God like that. The fact that God is merciful does not mean you should be reckless. Hello, somebody? He said, please, daddy, I am not worthy. The things I've done are messed up. Please, a servant. That's all I ask for. He must have been broken. Hello? You see, when we evaluate, when we check up on ourselves, when we do assessment, it helps us to become better. Like I told you, listen, do you know, it's not everybody that has the moral compass and the courage to be able to accept the things that is wrong with them. At times, if people see, people know what is wrong, so people pretend. As if to say they don't see it. It takes courage to accept what God has shown you as maybe part of the deficiencies. Say deficiencies. I always tell people this. If 9 out of 10 people are saying that this is your mouth, this is your mouth, this is your mouth, you don't need a prophet. Hello, somebody? To come and tell you that this your mouth may one day get into trouble. Don't say, they don't like me. Says who? You don't like yourself. That's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, when you evaluate yourself, he helps to become a better person. Ask your neighbor, do you want to become better? Do you know you cannot become better if you remain bitter? Do you know you cannot become powerful if you remain pitiful? Hello? You have to choose one. Amen, somebody. Powerful or pitiful? Better or bitter? Tap it over and say, I go for better. Number 7. I love this one. Why? Another benefit of taking stock. It helps you to know whether you are on course or not. It helps to know whether you're on track or you have gone off track. It's possible to go off track and you may not know. It's possible to have deviated and derailed and you may not know. When Samuel saw Saul, he said, Bami, my prophet, my father. That's what they call my father. I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord. He said, waiting beyond this ram and goat where they bleach us. He said, we brought it for sacrifice to offer to the Lord. Now, he thought, amen somebody, he was on track. What did God say? Everything. What? Destroy. He got there and said, these are nice things. They are good for the ministry. Listen, did God tell you he needed an offering? The instruction was clear. Everything. Say everything.
Everything.
You know, this always scares me. Because you see, that's why I am a strong advocate of living an examined life. Listen, you may have gone off course without you yourself knowing. Look at Samson. Samson, the Philistines, the Bible says he got up as at other times shook himself. The Bible says he did not know that God had left him. I mean, that's a very, very bad stage to be. God has gone long time and you are not aware. That means that person is really dead spiritually. Amen, somebody. Because, I mean, he should have been seeing the signs. This thing, I'm not feeling God. I'm not sensing him. Amen. Hello, somebody. My heart is not going after the things of God as it used to. Some say, don't worry. He's one of those things. No, don't take it like that. That's why the Bible says we examine ourselves. You may have lost your mojo. You must have lost your motivation. You must have lost your zeal. The Bible asks a question, Isaiah 63 verse 15, says, where is your zeal? Where is it? Paul was telling the Galatians, Galatians 5, 7, you did run well, but who did hinder you from the truth? You used to do well, but now, one of the saddest things or testimonies anybody can give is to say, in the days when God used to use us, that's a sad testimony. What is happening now? Don't tell me in the days. What's happening with you and God now? It's possible for God to have left and people not to know. Do you know that maintaining focus is one of the most challenging things to do? To stay on track.